Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
One of the things that God has really been putting in my heart, I got a message this morning from a guy that's affiliated with Pastor Merrick's church. He's a pastor in Florida. And he gave me a word that I have had many, many times before. And I don't want to share it because it's just, I just feel uncomfortable sharing it. But it's a word that God's given to me many times before. I know it's from the Lord. But basically, it's concerning the operation of the gift of working of miracles. That's what it's about. It's about concerning the operation of the gifting of the working of miracles. And something that I was reminded of last night when I was talking to Cheryl, because me and Cheryl were discussing how the gifts have been taught traditionally, even from her experience, in around signs and wonders, is that only certain people have certain gifts. And so one of the things that God spoke to me early on when I was, and I want to share this testimony with you guys, to you guys. When I first got saved in 97, we had a guy named Prophet Kevin Leal came to the church. And I shared some of this before, I'm going to reshare it. And Kevin Leal came to the church and he said, if you just touch the hem of my suit jacket, you're going to be healed. And I was sitting in the audience like, wow, who's this guy, you know? Like, you know, he was so confident, you know? And he said, everyone I praise for speaks in tongues. And that was the second thing that blew me away. I said, wow, because I had prayed for a lot of people to speak in tongues. As soon as I got saved, I joined the street witnessing team. And we would go to the Cabrini Green and the Robert Taylor homes and all the projects in Chicago, the West Side Chicago, and we preached to prostitutes, crack addicts, gangbangers. I mean, we just go out there preaching to the worst of the worst. And I prayed for many people to get tongues, and none of them spoke in tongues. And I would shake their heads. I would make them do things like go, and then I would make them go, and then I would say, now speak, 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 and nothing would happen. And I really labored and struggled getting people to speak in tongues. Matter of fact, nobody I prayed for spoke in tongues. But the worst part about it is the people that I prayed for, and we talked about this, Robert. Actually, you could give your testimony about it. The people that I prayed for to get tongues, they were more disappointed they didn't get it than I was disappointed. Like, they, after the prayers, they felt rejected. They didn't want to go to church anymore. Like, they felt really damned. Like something was wrong with them because they didn't do it. And so I just felt terrible about that. I mean, I really felt terrible. And now here's this guy saying 99.9% of everyone he prays for speaks in tongues immediately. And I thought to myself, because I was from a good Word of Faith church, I thought to myself, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Because the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. Thank God I didn't have the mentality, oh, well, to one is given that gift to lay hands on people that receive tongues, and to the other, you know, because that's a mentality. And thank God I didn't have that mentality. Thank God I had the mentality that God is no respecter of persons. Matter of fact, if you want to find a scripture to back that only certain people could lay hands to receive tongues, there's scriptures to back that. Matter of fact, if you remember, there was a time where certain evangelist, Philip, I believe, had a revival in the city, and he called the apostles down. And when the apostles came, they laid hands on the new believers, and they received the gift of tongues. And so there's scriptural precedence to create that teaching to say that only certain people could lay hands on people to receive tongues. And that is, in some Pentecostal traditions, it is a teaching that only certain people can give the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a certain teaching. It is even a certain teaching that only certain people can serve communion. There is a certain teaching that only certain people can baptize. When we were pastored in the Korean church, they were upset because we served communion without white gloves. And I said, what? They said, oh, yeah, the pastor's very mad. He wants to come see you right now. The pastor's very mad. He saw you guys serving communion without the white gloves. I said, what's the white gloves for? I mean, all these traditions that have come in, and I'm coming from the prison. Like, I just got saved out of jail, so I don't know anything about white gloves, you know? So I'm coming out of jail, and I'm just seeing what the Bible says about communion and the Holy Ghost, and I'm just following the Bible. But there's all these traditions that have been built up, which has made the word of God of none effect. And so, thank God, I never heard that kind of preaching that only apostles can do it. And so I said, if he can do it, I can do it. So what I did is I just did what Bill Winston taught me. The Word of Faith taught me. Kenneth Hagin taught me. That, I mean, I read all his books. And he said that you just get the word in Copeland. I used to listen to Copeland for like 8 hours a day. I love Brother Copeland. I would listen to Copeland for 8 hours a day because I had this bank job where I just opened up the envelopes and took out the checks and typed in the amounts. So I just put my headphones on and I'd have my Kenneth Copeland 30 cassette series and I would just 8 hours a day, Copeland, 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 Copeland. And I learned that you take the word of God, you meditate on it, you put it in your heart, and when it becomes part of you, your faith system, then you can begin to operate in it. So I knew all I need to do is get a word on it. So I got a verse, Acts 19:6. And I got this verse, Acts 19:6, and Acts 19:6 says this. It said, well, I don't even have to look at it, but you could turn there, Acts 19:6. I don't have to look at it because I said it 7 times a day for 3 months. So, obviously, I memorized it. Amen. I wasn't trying to memorize it. I was trying to do it. It's one reason. It's one thing to memorize scriptures because you're doing some kind of spiritual exercise for Sunday school, and it's another thing to memorize a scripture because you're trying to get the power of it supernaturally to work in your life. Those totally different things. You're doing the same thing, but with different intentions. I was trying to get the juice out the steak. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're hungry, say, oh me. Acts 19:6 says, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, a good theologian could have told me, well, Paul's an apostle, and that's the apostolic ministry. But thank God I had no good theologians in my life. Amen. I took this, and I said, God's no respecter of persons. If Paul can do it, I can do it. I just need to see myself doing it. So I got the verse here, Acts 19:6, and I scratched out the word Paul, and I put Joey. And 7 times a day for 3 months, I said, Father, I thank you that when Joey laid his hands on them, they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. Father, I thank you that when Joey lays hands on them, they begin to speak with tongues and prophesy. And I said that every day for 3 months because I wanted it to be so that the minute I touched them, they just start going off in tongues. That's what I wanted. So it came 3 months later, and I'm going to find an ex-convict that I was in prison with. His name was Cato. His nickname, Cato. His real name was Sergio. He was a gangster killer with the tattoo, eye drops on his face and everything. He's a good guy, though. Most of the killers that I know were really good guys. And he took care of me while we were in jail. So I went to go visit him, and I shared the gospel with him, and he just basically kicked me out of his house. He was a leader in the Satan Disciples, SD, Satan Disciples. They don't realize it's just the name of a gang. They don't really realize it's Satan. It's just the name of a gang. So I was leaving his house, and I was walking to the alley, and I saw three other Satan disciples, because that neighborhood was the SD's neighborhood, the Satan disciples' neighborhood. So I'm leaving, and I see these three Satan disciples, and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm coming from Cato's house. Are you guys SD's? They're like, yeah, Cato, yeah, Cato. You know, respect, you know, because he was a leader. And see, I was locked up with Cato, but I got totally changed. I met Jesus, and I started sharing my testimony. I shared the gospel with them. And so I said, would you guys like to meet Jesus? And they're like, yeah. And they're all Mexicans. Yeah, bro, yeah, S.A. So we prayed for them to all get saved. And I said, all right, now I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to speak with tongues, because I've been meditating on that. So I'm ready to lay hands on them so they speak in tongues. And they're like, what's tongues? And I said, it's a new language to prove that you've become a new person. Because when you prayed with me to accept Christ in your life, you get born again. That means you're a new person. This is a new life. And God gives you a new language to prove you have a new life. They don't need a theological explanation. I want to just give them a real explanation. So they're like, oh, well, okay. All right, well, lay hands on me. So I lay hands on the first one. Nothing happened. I lay hands on the second one. And I think nothing happened for him. So I lay hands on the third one, and he immediately starts speaking in tongues. So I saw that. I said, oh, yes. And then I went back to the second one, boom, and then he got it. And then the third one, boom, and he got it. Because I built my faith up when the first guy started doing it. So that encouraged me that the next guys would get it too. And ever since then, I went on for years. Everyone I touched, I mean, if I just bumped into you, you'd speak in tongues. Everyone I touched, speak in tongues. And then I saw Reinhard Bonnke. And Bonnke was having a big crusade in Africa. And he was like, hallelujah. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Bonnke, how he would, you know how he is, you know. He's like, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then people started falling down. Thousands of people started falling down. And I thought, God, if I ever preach to a crowd like that, I won't have time to lay hands on them. What do I do? And God said, remember what happened with Peter in Acts 10:44? I said, yeah. And he said, well, just start confessing that one. So I said, all right. So I got Acts 10:44, and I started confessing Acts 10:44. And let's take a look at that one. Acts 10:44. It says that while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all those which heard the word. And they that were the Jews, the circumcised that believed, were astonished, as many as the king with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why were they astonished? How did they know that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Because 46 says, they heard them. Say, heard them. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So I said, Father, I thank you that while I yet speak the word, the Holy Ghost falls on them, and they speak with tongues. And I began to confess that for a couple months. And I had my first chance. Bill Winston was having a West Side Chicago crusade. And they asked me to speak. And he was speaking, and I spoke, and the different choirs and so forth, you know. And so I was one of the speakers. I spoke, and then we had an altar call, and we put the people in. After the altar call, they got saved to the Holy Ghost tent. And there was like seven young black guys, maybe 18, 19. And I could have laid hands on them because there was only seven. But I've been meditating on this, and I want to practice. So I said, all right, here's how it's going to work. You're going to lift up your hands, start praising God. I'm going to pray, and the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you while I'm praying, and you're all going to begin to speak in tongues. And they're like, they don't know what's happening. They just got saved. They just got baptized in the park. And now they're in the Holy Ghost tent. So they lifted up their hands. I prayed for them. And they began to all speak with tongues without me having to touch them. Amen. Shortly after that, I went to Bible college. And I began to preach on the Holy Ghost at Rob Parsley's church. I was training the staffs. And while I was preaching, people started getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. While I was preaching. When I went to Mongolia, I was preaching. The first time I was preaching, the drummer got baptized in the Holy Ghost without me teaching on the subject, without me laying hands, just preaching. The Holy Ghost began to fall on people all over the church, and they began speaking with tongues. That is not some kind of oxymoron. It's not something that happened on accident. That's something that I purposely cultivated and sought for and desired and prayed for until it began to show in my ministry. This is before I had a ministry, you know. I was just a kid that loved the Lord. Amen. But it began to show in my life. I remember when my friends started saying, oh yeah, 4 people got saved in my ministry. I said, what do you mean your ministry? You're 20 years old, your ministry, you know. But now I'm at the age where people have some ministries, you know. But we were just young kids getting people saved, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. Not because we had any, I was not a youth pastor, I was not nothing. Just a believer that loved Jesus, amen. And I was being used like the apostles, even though I was just a young believer. Amen. Because God is no respecter of persons. And could you share your little testimony about your 60 minute and how that well, you can share the prostitute one, but remember how we first began to pray together for the orphans to get tongues, and it used to take change.
Yeah. When I first started sharing and praying for people, it's something you just don't give up on. And at first, it'd roughly take about an hour for me praying over someone.
1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour. That was his average.
And that was the start when I first started out. And then we had a talk. He said, no, that's not how the way it goes. Because the first time I got it started, it was in a Redmond Assembly of God church. The guy just touched me. He said, when I touch you, boom, that's it. That was the standard I first saw. So, but that didn't happen to me instantly. Clearly, the pastor built up more and more. So what I did is I just didn't give up, because my understanding is, okay, it's like a breakthrough. So it started with 1 hour. After your teaching, I got to 30 minutes. Then I got to 15 minutes. And then it started getting where it could be done in 5-10 minutes. It wasn't a long, drawn-out thing. And we had some certain examples of the gift of tongues. One was my sister's gift. Because my sister, Betty, who prayed me in the kingdom, we're hoping her to visit you, her prayer language sounds the fakest. So if you're using your carnal mind and hear blah, 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 ah, blah, blah, something like that, you're like, that is so fake. And she was at a First Nations tribal meeting, and she was sitting next to an Eskimo Indian who spoke a rare language no white people speak, called Inuit. And as she's just doing her little thing, she's such a kid. I mean, she's 75 years old, and she acts like a kid. She really has that gift. The Indian next to her is going, what, lady, do you know what you're saying? And my sister's like, no, what am I saying? That is a beautiful prayer to God. And then he went on to teach her what he was saying. It was a beautiful, and she just got encouraged. But anyone in their carnal mind will say, that's not a language. Well, when he heard a white person speak Inuit, he realized, God, this is supernatural. So that was my sister's testimony. One of Joseph's testimonies that I put on our video, we have a video of praying in tongues on YouTube, and it's got a lot of hits, was the radical change that can happen to people. He was doing a street ministry, and he came upon a high street prostitute on drugs. And they shared the gospel with her. So she's coming high, and she's clearly in a bad state and in a bad lifestyle. And then you prayed with her, shared with her, and prayed with her. Within no time, she's going up and down the street praising God in a prayer language. And I thought, this is the biggest example of from the bottom to the top. What does that? You're not going to just say a few sermons and get someone that quickly. That's the power of the prayer language. And I teach people, if you got the language, do it at least an hour a day. You see me right there, I just leave it on. Because it empowers me. A lot of people only do it in prayer time. No, just leave it on. It looks strange on the bus. I went to a Chinese church, the Zion Church, that just got shut down. And I was doing it, not loudly. And a guy comes up to me and says, sir, acupuncture will fix that. It's in Chinese. I think Lanjing had to translate. I thought that was so funny because it's a huge church and they just weren't teaching on it. And you gotta get a good teaching. And our general teaching is, yeah, this is the hinge. And if you don't get this, how are you going to get to the higher ones? And you were right that there are a few cases where people start with higher ones before this. But the general rule we saw is this edifies you. And once you're edified, you can get to the higher realms. John G. Lake was doing healings before he got the teaching of the baptism of the Spirit and the tongues. But generally, that's the exception, not the rule. And we can't hard code anything. But tongues is not something that gives you glory. Because you're not listening to someone going, wow, what is that? Wow, that's just... The word of knowledge looks cool. Miracles, heal, that looks cool. The gift language, it doesn't look cool. So you're not going to get any glory out of it. And it's a good test. Are you only going to do it for glory on the microphone? Or are you going to just... You're going to do it for the glory of God and not worry about how your image goes. So I encourage you, just leave it on. Does anyone here not have the prayer language yet? Who here does not have it yet? Anybody? Everyone's got it? Okay, good. Because it's something a lot of churches, they'll just ignore. And you can't ignore this. And because some ignore it, other people have to cover the slack. And do it more and more. And when we were in China, half the congregations were against it, half of it were for it. And we had to visit those congregations against it, and we had to share because Baptist preaching got in there, and they just cut off the Holy Spirit right off the bat. A Presbyterian. This is embarrassing about my home church, but we had a mega church, the Overlake Mega Church, 5,000 seats. And all the leaders had it, but none of the people were getting it. Wow. That's not a good situation. Because there's a cause and effect. You got it, and it edifies you so you can be a leader, but the next generation is not getting it. We took a trip to Palm Springs, and I'm saying, okay, don't the Assemblies of God, I think that group I heard, gives it. So we went to one, and this is the story how I got mine the first time. We go to an Assemblies of God, Lanjing and I, Palm Springs, and I sit next to an old lady, and she's looking at me. Sir, do you have the prayer language? And I was like, no. Do you want the prayer language? And I said, yes, I'm open to that. That's good. So then she just left, and I didn't know what happened. Why did she just leave? Well, she told the pastor. And after the service, the pastor calls Lanjing up and I in front, explains the gift, and we're in front of elders and the pastors, and he does the touch. I'm going to just touch your forehead, and it will start. That was the first time I experienced it. So when he touched my forehead, the biggest war just started. Two big voices came in my mind. And one of them was, oh, this is so fake. That's not how you pray. He's tricking you. And the other voice was, no, let this go, because my tongue started. It started moving. And the other voice was, no, let this go. Give it a try. And the other was, no, don't let them trick you, man. You're being such a fool. It's not how you pray. And these voices just fought for like 5 minutes. And eventually I just said, shut up. What is this from? Just let it go, be open to it, and voice, whoever you are, shut up. And I didn't realize that the enemy has a demon I call stop tongue. And it's a religious spirit. Where do you get religious spirits? From church. Because they look spiritual. And it's a spiritual concept. Don't be fooled. Don't pray in a fake way. Don't do anything artificial. It sounds all good. And he brought it out right when I needed the faith to let it go. So I left it on. When he touched, I left it on for 3 hours. And after the service, they brought everyone to a Ponderosa, some kind of buffet. And I must have sinned. I must have sinned. So I'm going back. What did you do? Did you curse someone? Did you do something evil? And I'm thinking, it's just yesterday. I didn't do anything since. This is strange. How did you lose it? And that's one of the lies of the enemy. I didn't lose it. But he'll trick people thinking, you lost it. The flame's out. So we went back home to our mega church, and I was a little disappointed I couldn't start it again. And I was on the ministry for prayer, and when someone comes up for salvation, we just go there, we lay our hands on them, and we just pray on the side. That was one of the jobs I had. So I did that. Someone came forward, and I just I walked up to him, put my hand on his shoulder. And, oh, Lord, please bless me. It started again right off the bat. And I was like, how did that happen? I didn't even try it. It just came to it. And I started to realize maybe there's more anointed places than others. Maybe where there's fire, it starts it off. So my first experience with tongues was kind of shaky, but I learned some good lessons. And I learned that I could keep focus. I could wake up carnally. So every morning I wake up carnally. We wake up carnally. You're totally filled with the flesh. And within about 5 minutes of the prayer language, I'm spiritually awake. And if I don't do it, I'm dead. And before, when I would go to prayer meetings, if you don't have the prayer language, my goodness, a 15-minute prayer is maxing out. That's a long time. 15 minutes. Because after 15 minutes, you're like, what else do I say? And with a prayer language, I could go on for hours. I could switch from my language and what I was thinking, just leave it on. And I've even learned to speak in both languages at the same time. It's kind of strange. But so the gift of the prayer language is very important. It really edifies you. And I used to think, well, the Bible says it edifies you, so that's all it does. But we had a situation at the Bavarian restaurant in Washington that confirmed it doesn't just edify you. And this is what happened. We went to a Bavarian restaurant in the city of, what was the city? Up north? Okay, we forgot. It was one of those cities where a lot of tourists come. In a Bavarian restaurant, their tables are thick wood. Leavenworth, yeah. Thick wood, and they're up much higher. And you're sitting on a big chair, big heavy chairs. The owner comes out to talk to us because we're visitors. And we're having a nice conversation. And he puts his 1-year-old child, 6-month-year-old child, right next to him on the table. And about 15 minutes into the conversation, we hear thud. Bad thud. We recognize that thud was a baby falling off a Bavarian table, thudding his head on the heart, and that's a big fall. And this is not a 2-year-old. This is like a 1/2-year-old. And I was looking at him, and as soon as we heard the thud, it came out, and I was a little embarrassed because I was like, "This is weird. I didn't want to look." You know, we were having a conversation, and I asked the Lord, "What is this strange thing?" Because I thought it only edified myself, but the need at that time was not for myself. It was for this situation. And then I recognize it can not only edify you, it can do things that are needed at the time. And I promise you, if you're doing spiritual warfare, if you don't have the gift, it's like a soldier without a gun. Okay, some soldiers can go with just a knife. Some soldiers can go with less, but my goodness, get the gun. And one of the problems with the church is they'll talk about things before and not actually give you the things. And what good is a soldier that knows everything about guns but doesn't actually have a gun? You need it. And then after you get this, you need the higher gifts. When people come in here sick, you got operating in the healings. You can't be weak in that. When you're having some kind of warning from the Lord, you got to recognize this is a warning from the Lord. And warning from the Lord, words can come through anything. You guys know Haman? from the Bible? The word of the Lord came through his wife. Did you know that? His wife gave him the word. Since Mordecai is of the Jews, your plans against him will fail and lead to your demise. Well, that's a heathen, and her husband is one of the most anti-Jewish persons. You didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. So all these things where we hear the voice of the Lord, we speak the voice of the Lord, you've got to have these higher gifts. And one of the things I'm coming to understand is the Lord is the compensator. In other words, whatever your weaknesses are, he covers that. And we learned yesterday that the idea that, okay, he'll only work through healing through you and not through you. What if you're on an island with a sick person and you got the Holy Spirit, but you don't operate in the gift of healing? Is that the Holy Spirit saying, well, there's nothing I can do? You know, Satan can make you sick, but I can't heal you because you're not in that office. My goodness, who's more powerful, Satan or a spirit-filled Christian with the Holy Spirit? He compensates. And the lesson we learned is some people operate with higher faith in a gift of healing. Some people have all the faith if there's a back problem, like Sid Roth. If there's a back problem, he has all the faith to fix that. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit could not operate in some other function. So you got to learn every way the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And I got spoken to by my son many times. The truth is, when people speak the word of the Lord, often they don't know. They just got a thought. They're speaking it out. We had this the other day where everything was broken in the house. And Jade had the word of the Lord. So all our technology didn't work. And for me, I'm technology, so that's my strong point. I could, anywhere, anything that can break, I can fix it three ways. We couldn't get some things working. And Jade had this little sentence, and she said something about David Dance. And as soon as I heard that, I realized, that's a word from the Lord. We got to get into praise. Praise and worship and dancing worship. Not just the slow, but sometimes dancing worship. And as soon as we did, what happened? Yeah. So we got a word from the Lord. We obeyed it, because the Bible says, blessed are you if you hear these words. And? Yeah, so we want the blessing part. And as soon as we did, we got a solution. So hearing from the Lord. But the idea I came up with was, it's the hinge to leads us to the higher gifts, and we have to operate in those higher gifts.
Amen. So I'm sitting in my apartment off campus at World Harvest Bible College. I'm a student there, and I'm watching some Jack Coe tapes. A friend of mine had a bunch of Jack Coe tapes. And I'm watching these Jack Coe tapes, and I'm watching how he's ripping the tumors right off people's face, yanking the people off of wheelchairs, and he's, punching the tumors out of their stomach. And they're just miraculously being healed. He has such a reckless gift of faith. And as I was watching that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. This was in 2002 or 2003. And the Holy Spirit said, just like you got the word of God and you took those scriptures and you meditated on them until everyone you touch speaks in tongues. He said, just like that, you can do the same thing with the healing anointing, and you can operate in the gift of working in miracles just like Jack Coe, if you'll do that work. But you know what? To be honest with you, the Lord spoke that to me. I wrote it down. And would you know, from 2003 to 2020, I have never done that again. What I did in 1997, when I took those verses and I said them seven times a day for 3 months, I've never done that again for any subject. So it's interesting how you could go after something at one point in your life and get it and live with that for the rest of your life, operating in that gift, but never get hungry for more, just being satisfied with what God has given you. So I feel a hunger stirring in me to begin to take what God said to me about going after the gift of miracles and beginning to do that. Now, to do that, you have to have some time. I was a Bible college student at that time in my life, and that's what I did. I just studied the Word all day, every day, you know. So I had that time, but I feel like the Lord wants me to start carving out some extra time again to go after the work of the miracles. And part of that is the reason why I went into the hospitals and why I began to have healing services in the COVID hospitals, because I remember the Lord told me that He would use me in that way. So I said, well, He's never going to use me that way if I don't believe it and if I don't go out and act in it. So I went out there. I received it by faith. I went out there and I acted on it. And we saw some small trickles. But we have not seen the fullness of what God promised me that we can operate in. And to me, the fullness would be at that same level, at least at that same level as Jack Coe. Now, of course, we could say great or whatever. I'd be happy just to see a Jack Coe today, period. You know what I mean? So I don't need to go beyond that. If I could just get to that level, I'd be pretty happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you just heal everybody, even Jesus didn't heal everybody. Am I right? So, you know, if you could be at that level, that'd be great. So I'm getting hungry to go after that. But I want to ask you, have you been hungry to go after something concerning spiritual things? If not, what can we do to begin to stir your hunger to be used by God in one of these things that He has made available for us? And so I'm praying that as we're talking about these things, having these discussions, telling these stories, teaching on this, that you'll begin to get hungry for one of these spiritual gifts. And something that me and Cheryl discussed last night, we were here last night till past 11 p.m. last night. And it was one of the things we discussed last night was simply on this particular topic. Why do some people operate strongly in one gift versus another gift? The thought has always been that's the special anointing they have. And Brother Hagin, God bless him, even wrote a book on special anointings. But I've discovered as revelation is progressive, can you say that with me? Revelation is progressive. The revelation is progressive is that oftentimes the reason why people had that anointing in that area is because they had been healed of that. Or their relative got healed of that. So they really have faith to operate in that. But it's because there was a significant thing that took place in their life regarding that. Or they sat under a mentor that operated in that gift. And so they really saw that. And through seeing that, it built an image on the inside of them that it should work like this. So it's not necessarily that people have a special anointing. It's that at some point in their life, they had received an impartation or a faith or an experience or an encounter that had built their faith up in that area. But that doesn't mean that you are now shut out and forever forbid from having an anointing to heal a different kind of disease. Because you can develop your faith in every single promise and spiritual gift. Doesn't the Bible say that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ? Every one of them. The thing is, we don't understand that they are all there for us, and it's simply put there for the pursuit and for the cultivation of the believer. So it's not what gift you have, but it's what gift you want to cultivate. And I'm getting hungry myself to begin to cultivate the working of miracles more, because I want to be able to show that living proof. That's why my website is called, my show is called Living Proof. I want to be able to show that living proof to the Muslim and so forth. And my friend Daniel Chand, Evangelist Daniel Chand in England, he has a strong gift of faith, of gift of faith and working in miracles. He heals a lot of Muslims in London. He's having a tent crusade right now, and I met him down at Rodney's. But he has a strong gift of faith on that. But he didn't get that on accident. He told me when he got saved in jail, someone gave him a Smith Wigglesworth book. And he read that book, and he read that book, and he read that book until he built up the gift of faith. That's why he's healing Muslims in London. It's not because he got a special anointing. It's because he found a man that became his mentor, even though he was dead, and he studied his words and believed in it and desired that and cultivated a gift of healing, a gift of working in miracles. You can cultivate it too. So what I'm hoping to do in these meetings is to just create a spiritual hunger so that you would pursue. Because the Bible says in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have that. Most people never see that verse fulfilled. As the problem is not because they didn't pray, and it's not because they didn't believe, it's because they didn't desire. That word desire is the same word for lust in the Greek, and it means to crave after. In other words, don't come and talking to me and praying to me about something that you don't truly, truly desire. And proof of your desire is taking those verses, meditating on them 7 times a day for 3 months. In other words, pursuit. Proof of your desire is in your pursuit. I have not pursued the working of miracles since God's told me that for 17 years. I could pretend I'm sanctimonious and say, oh yeah, I desire that. You probably say, yeah, I desire that. But have you desired it if you haven't pursued it? I'd have to say, let God be true and every man a liar. And I'd have to say, no, you don't desire none of it if you haven't pursued it. Am I right? I'd have to say I've just been satisfied with people speaking in tongue. And I like that gift. But there's more. And the world needs to see more. And it's there for us if we would crave for it. Like Dowie did, like John G. Lake did, like Code did, like Oral Roberts, so on. It's there for us if we will desire it. Amen. Let's pray. And I want to pray for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, let's pray for you to receive the gift of tongues tonight. Would you like that? Come on up here, cowboy. Amen. Let's pray for Jeremiah. You're about a good age to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray for Jeremiah to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can stand, sit, or kneel, whatever you'd like to do. Doesn't matter. Let me just tell you, Jeremiah. And you brought your own oil. He brought his own. Show him your oil. He has Goliath oil. Hallelujah. He brought a big bottle. Robert. Amen.
Mine was more religious, though.
I have a lot more stories. Yeah, it looks more holy. I have a lot more stories about tongues I'd like to share with you guys, but another time. Some of my favorite stories, and I'll just share one. There was an apostolic, you guys heard of the apostolic people? There was an apostolic black lady that came to Rod Parsley's church when I was on staff. And the prerequisite to volunteer for Rod Parsley's prayer line, I was the manager of the prayer line, the prerequisite is you must speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, he don't let you pray there. So I said, well, ma'am, do you speak in tongues? She said, no. And I said, well, you can't pray here on the prayer lines unless you're spirit-filled. And she said, but I prayed for it for 20 years. I come from the apostolic church, and I've tarried for 20 years, and I've never got it. And she was like maybe 46. I was 26. I was younger. I was like 23 or 24. So I'm 24. She's 46. And I said, good news. Today is your lucky day. You just met the Holy Ghost guy. Everyone I lay hands on speaks in tongues. And she laughed at me. Because 23-year-old kid is going to get me the Holy Ghost. I've been tarrying for 20 years, you know. She's 46. And I said, yeah, absolutely, you're going to get it today. So I began to pray for her and so on. And she's like, whatever, give your best shot. You know, go ahead. I've had, you know, Bishop Charles Blake's prayed for me and Bishop whatever, so-and-so. And I grew up in church. My mother's an elder of the prayer team. And just give it your best shot, kid. That was her attitude. So I'm praying for her. And she's like, oh, it's not going to happen. And I can't stand when it takes more than a minute. I don't have the patience. Because to me, it should, boom, the minute I touch you, you should do it. But she's dealing with all this religion, all this tarrying doctrine. So I'm like, you know, all right. And I just keep pressing in. I felt like the Lord saying, don't let go. You know, she's been praying for 20 years. You're the man. Let her get her breakthrough. So all of a sudden, we hear tongues, but it's not coming from her mouth. We hear tongues coming from her stomach. We hear like in her voice, but it's not coming out of her mouth. It's in her stomach. It's a very strange experience. And she said, it felt like a tornado spinning. That's what she said. So it was really quiet. It was in here and it began to come up. And then all of a sudden, boom! Because we're in the prayer center. So there's like cubicles with people on phones. Two people on the other side of the cubicles fell out of their chair. Knocked out of their chair. She's wearing high heels. She flies out of her high heels. And she didn't fall down, but she like shoots out of her high heels and starts spinning and jumping and leaping and speaking and just going top of toe. And she's speaking in tongues. People are trying to get up off the floor on the other side. And she's crying. She grabs me, hugging me. Thank you. She's like, 20 years. And she's like, can I use the phone? I got to call my mama. So she gets on the phone. She calls her mom. Mama, shabba. Look, I got it. I got the Holy Ghost. I was so happy. You know, I was so blessed. Because just the thought of this lady for 20 years, and it only took us, you know, it took her about 15 minutes, but doesn't take more than a minute. Last year, I was in Wuhan, China, I think, and there was a man, he said, I've been praying for tongues for 6 months. Can you pray for me? I said, well, it's your lucky day. Today, you're going to speak in tongues. He said, today? I said, yeah. I said, you've been praying for 6 months? He said, yeah. I said, well, today's your lucky day. You're going to do it today. He's like, really? What do I do? I said, just sit down and relax. So we just sat down. I said, give me your hands, relax, take a deep breath. And the count of three, start speaking. Because it doesn't take long prayers. It doesn't take signs and wonders and lightning strikes. It, out of your belly, if you believe in him, flows the rivers of living water. All you do is when we pray, you believe. You believe that God answers your prayers when you pray, and we're going to pray that he fill you today. And we're going to believe it's done today. And then you just open your mouth and speak from your heart, and you'll begin to speak. It will sound like you're just mumbling and bumbling and saying stupid things. Don't even listen to it. Don't even pay no mind to it, because it's not you praying. It's not coming from your mind. It's coming from your belly. Just let it go. And let it go and let it go, and then practice that every day, and your life will be very empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you. And through him, you can turn from your way of doing things to his way. And his way is the right way, because he made you. And he made you for a purpose. And he knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus.
I believe that your son died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that can follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.